What I'd like to do today and for the next couple of weeks is do some teaching in the matter of these giftings. We've gone through a series in our congregation called Designer Gifts, where we looked at Romans chapter 12 and looked at the giftings that God's given to individuals. But I would like for us to center in on one particular gifting and talk a bit about that for the next couple of weeks and actually do some activations, not just discussions, but actually activations in this gifting. And so the people that have this gifting real strongly, next week we're going to push you a little bit. But everybody's to do this. We'll explain that in a minute. So we're going to get everybody involved today. But next week we'll get kind of particular about it. But we're going to look at this particular gifting, the prophetic gifting that's in the Scriptures. If you remember when we were going through these, that there are three particular gift passages in the Scriptures. One is in the book of Romans, it's chapter 12. Those are gifts that God the Father gives to us. And this is a Bodeism. That means I can't prove it from Scripture. But I think that everybody in the world receives these giftings. When you become a believer, if you're a believer, then you have the Holy Spirit energizing those giftings. But I find people in the world that have that are just great servants. They just have the gift of serving. Other people I find in the world are great teachers. They're not believers, but they're really good teachers. I've seen some leaders who aren't believers in the Lord, but they're good leaders. I think God gives these giftings to everybody. And again, when you become a Christian, when you become a believer, then you have the Spirit of God energizing that and can take you to levels that are really interesting if you'll walk with Him. The second set of giftings found in the Scriptures is the giftings that come from Jesus Christ. They're the fivefold giftings for the church of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And He gives those to the church so that the church can grow. And then the last set of giftings is probably the most familiar set. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14. And those are the giftings that the Spirit of God energizes in an individual to carry forth. And there's several lists that are there. And we're going to have some time where we'll go into those in detail. But that's not what we're looking at for this series. We're looking at going into these individual designer gifts that God gives us and taking several weeks just to explore those a little bit and see how you're to operate in those. Because everybody in here is gifted by the Lord. Now, it's interesting to me that in each one of these gift lists that you see, there are certain common denominators. One of the common denominators is the word, the concept of love is used in every single one of them. You know why? Because if you operate in these giftings without love, then it can cause trouble within the body. In fact, we find that happening a lot. Do you see people with leadership causing trouble in the world? Yeah. And the reason for that many times is because they're motivated by selfishness. They're motivated for stuff from them, and so they move that way. Well, that actually can happen in the church, too, if you're not operating from love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you have the great love chapter. You know, remember that chapter? Used a lot at weddings, but it has nothing to do with weddings in its context. It's okay to talk about love at weddings. I'm not opposed to that. But the context, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, deals with the gifts that the Spirit of God manifests to people within His body. And then chapter 13 deals with love, how we're to operate in those. And chapter 14 picks right up with the gifts again. And so sandwiched right in between them is this concept of love. And we've got to have us operating in love. If not, the giftings cause definite problems. And the history of the church shows that. Now, we looked at these seven giftings in a previous seminar, but let me just remind you of them again. These are the giftings that Romans chapter 12 mentions. In fact, why don't you take your Bible and let's just look at those, and I'll read them, and then we'll go through some things that help define them. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is coming now into the latter section of Romans. He spent 11 chapters talking about doctrine and why Jesus came and what Jesus coming into our world has accomplished for us, what privileges we have, and what's taking place. Now then, after He's given us all that information about doctrine, He comes down to a very practical section where in chapter 12 He starts off by saying these words. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. To him, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. And there you have love. In fact, the rest of the chapter deals with how love's to play out. Like chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians deals with how love is to be. So the last part of this chapter of Romans 12 deals with that. So he lists out these seven giftings for us. The first one is prophesying. And a person who has this gifting of prophesying, one of the big motives of their life when they're walking with the Lord is to encourage people to trust God. I mean, that's a big reason for it. I mean, all of a sudden, somebody comes up to you and they share with you something that nobody else knew, God knew, and all of a sudden they speak that to you. Would that not encourage you? You hadn't told it to anybody. And all of a sudden, God speaks to you from there. It encourages you to trust Him more. Helping. That's where a person uses their personal abilities to enhance the ministry for the kingdom of God. And so they do that, and they don't care that they don't get up front and are doing stuff up front. They don't want to do that. They want to help. They want to see it take place. Teaching. People have the gift of teaching. They really want to encourage people to understand what God says. So that they understanding, they can understand. We're not just doing random things. We're following what God has laid out for us so that we can get and move with what God's doing. Because you understand, don't you, that God's doing something in the earth? He didn't just start this thing up and sitting back going, okay, let's see what happens. He has plans and purposes and He's moving towards those. And one of the things He wants is you and me to get involved in that. When we do that, our lives will get really full. They really get fulfilled. Because life gets to be a lot of fun then. So teachers want to encourage understanding. People who exhort, well, they want to encourage people to walk in a certain lifestyle, God's lifestyle. And they exhort people. They usually take a teacher takes the whole scripture and wants people to understand. A person who's an exhorter takes usually just one passage with their testimony and they just hit that one thing. Just keep hitting. You know why they keep hitting it? Because it takes a long time for some of us to grab a hold of it. You ever notice that? You don't learn things the first time? So they come and do that. People who have the gift of giving, well, they use their personal finances to enhance the kingdom of God. And the people who really have the gift don't want recognition. In fact, they shun recognition. I know of one guy who gave a lot of money to a particular school, and he said, "And if you let anybody know I gave this, then I will never, ever give any money here again." So unlike the typical philanthropic stuff that you see going on, right? Where you have names on buildings. Look at school. Go to schools. There are names on buildings. You know, and just people who really have that gift want to stay in the background. You see it at churches too. Have you noticed in churches where you've had organ donors? You know, who gave a lot of money for an organ. There's organs here in honor of. And so you have it on pews and stained glass windows. And I was in church one time, and some people sat in the pew, and other people came and said, "That's our pew. You got to get up and move." They were visitors. Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't know we were sitting in the wrong place. It can really cause troubles. Leading, those people want to see structure taking place in the kingdom, and they just think structure. They just think it in this order. This is how things go, and they come up with stuff extremely rapidly. And it's great structure and it moves well. And people who show mercy are really wanting to see people restored to fullness. They really want to see people get back and move properly in God's way. And so these are the giftings that are there. And you know what? Everybody's to do everything. There are passages in the Scripture that tell us that everybody's to be involved in all of these different activities. But what happens is, as we go through these, there's a particular one that stands out. And when those you find those that stand out, you know, that's the gifting God's really given you. And while we're to do all of them, that gifting is very, very strong. That's why I want to go through and teach on all of these, because everybody's to do all of them. Do you understand that? Shake your head like this. That means yes. Everybody's to do all of them. All right. As he starts off, Paul says, in order to be able to do these gifts, you have to be a living sacrifice. That's really required. If you're not a living sacrifice where you're saying, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, then there is this move that will happen where you can use it for manipulation. You can use it to get your way rather than to follow God's way. In Romans 12, he tells us we're living sacrifices. Some people have to get back on the altar. I've had to do that. Maybe you have too. Where you got off. You know, you were walking, boy, really walking, and yet you got off the altar. So the problem with living sacrifices is sometimes we get off and we've got to get back on the altar. But then he says that in the body, we have a lot of different gifts. Which one's the most important? Let me ask you something. Is your liver more important than your heart? Or your brain? You need all of them. And really, to be a functioning human being, you need everything working, right? You know? And you don't think of your kidneys a whole lot, not your bladder, your kidneys. You don't think of your kidneys a whole lot, correct? But they're extremely important. And so, all the body parts have different functions. We have different functions. Why he's trying to help you understand that is because certain people go, oh, I wish I could do that. No, you don't. Do what God's gifted you to do. You know? I mean, not to envy anybody else that anybody else has. Do what you were made to do. How important is your foot? I mean, if you don't have a foot, it's going to be a lot harder to walk around, right? Unless you get special help, you're not going to be able to do much. And so, you know, it's important. All of our parts are important. So make sure you understand that and don't be going off on the idea, I don't have this, therefore I'm not anything. All of them are very important. And again, we mentioned that love is the style we serve in, and we are to serve with all of our heart. That was what we covered when we were in the seminar dealing with this. We're all different members. We all function different like the body does. It's all important. Then we have these different gifts, but one of them is special to you. And the way you know it's special is you'll be doing a task and you'll really like doing it. In fact, what happens is, given the opportunity, you'll jump in and do it. And that's how you sort of know you're gifting it, because you always are doing it. It's just what you do. And you can get tired in doing it, but you don't get tired of it. Did I say that right? You get tired in it. In other words, you can get to where you're just dog tired. Jesus one day was so tired, he was in a boat that a big storm's coming, where they wake him up and said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? And he's so tired that rocking boat and the water splashing in and the sound of thunder and stuff, he doesn't wake up. That's pretty tired. I've been that tired before. I was on a plane one time coming back from a missions endeavor, and after I woke up, because the stewardess came and said, you got to get sit up and put your tray up, because I had my head down like this on the tray, because we're getting ready to land. And one of the passengers beside me said, boy, that was a rough ride. And I said, really? It is the roughest thing. And one of the stewardesses said, yeah, it was one of the roughest I've been on. And I didn't know a thing of it. So I know you can get that physically tired. But you know, Jesus wasn't tired of it. He got tired in it. And you can get very, very tired ministering. But once you get some sleep, once you get refreshed, you go right back into it. You love it. And that's how you know that's a gifting that you have. Now then, he says, and we want to deal with this prophecy concept. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. The article is used there in the Greek New Testament, the faith. And so it could be either way. It's sort of ambiguous. Translators translate it either way. But I think that one of the big things I get, whenever I find ambiguity, and I find that periodically, I think it's there purposefully. Does that make sense? When you're ambiguous, sometimes you do it purposefully so that you can cover both territories. And we're always, whenever prophecy's out, it always has to be in agreement with the Word of God, with the teachings of the Word. So if somebody comes up and says, I think you ought to go kill somebody, or the Lord told me that you ought to go kill somebody, guess what? Does that go against the Word of God? A guy named Son of Sam, who was in, was it Boston or New York? I think Boston area. Killed a bunch of nurses. And he said, when he was captured finally, that God told him to do it. Well, he's right, but it wasn't the God of the world, God of the Bible. It was the God of the world, God of this age. Satan told him to do it. And not the God of heaven, because we always have to line up with the teachings of the Scriptures. Now, he says if we prophesy, prophesying is this concept of where God gives a gifting to speak to people in the now about matters of their life with the Lord. Like I said, the words have to line up with the Bible, which you're speaking in the now. Speaking in the setting. I had a friend, and one day he had some older children and younger children, and the older children could watch after the younger children, so he was letting them do that while he took his wife out for dinner. They came back and they found a lamp that was broken. And so they asked, who broke the lamp? You ever ask children in a lineup, who did this? I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't. Now, they got a rat on their brother or sister, but they will say, I didn't do it. Who did it? Silence. Did you do it? No, I didn't do it. Did you do it? No, I didn't do it. Did you do it? No, I didn't do it. And so they were frustrated because this is all they got. And yet, the property's broken. I mean, you can see it. Somebody had to do it. It didn't just mysteriously fall. That's what happened. That's what they wanted to try and make them believe. So, in the frustration of not being able to find out, the dad said, okay, your mom and I are going to go in the bedroom. And we're going to ask the Lord who did it. And He's going to tell us. And so they went into the bedroom. And they prayed and asked the Lord. Lord, did so-and-so? So-and-so. Then together they talked, and both came with the same one. So they came back out, and they said, we prayed, we asked the Lord, and He said that you did it. And the child went, yeah, I did it, you know. And now that's the use of this gifting. Does that make sense? What prophecy is where God speaks to you, and then you're able to share with other people. In this particular case, it was a very practical thing. And you know, from that day on, the three older children knew that they can't get away with much. Why? Because mom and dad will just go ask God. And He'll tell. Yeah. Part of it too is that you often have responsibility for people who you're responsible for. And so you can pray and ask things like that for people that you're responsible for. As pastor, I have a tremendous amount of material that I get when I'm praying for folks. And I pray for them. And I just pray. Now, quite frankly, that's one of the things you do in that area. You just pray. Sometimes it's things you can share. I was sitting one day with a person, and this guy had some horrible settings in his past. I mean, just really terrific settings. Molestation, other mess, and just hardships in his life. And now he's in his 20s, and he's just really hit and crashed and having major problems socially, work, you're not able to hold a job, just all kinds of things are falling in around in his life and just being destroyed. And so I'm going, Lord, I don't know what to do here. What do you do? And the Lord impressed on me that we needed to deal with one of the roots that was causing this. And so He gave me a word. Now, He's done this often in the past, and I didn't know what it was. I just was sitting in, for years, sitting with people, and all of a sudden the Lord would just bring a word to my mind. Let me tell you about how it is, all right? Let me show you what that's like, all right? I want you to say your address. Don't say it out loud. Do you know what your address is? The home address. Can you say your home address in your brain? When I say three, say your home address in your brain, okay? Can you do that? All right, one, two, three, the home address. Okay, you just had a thought. You produced it, but you had a thought. Did you hear that thought? Could you recognize that was a thought? when I was sitting in my chair listening to some folks, I had a thought. And I wasn't trying to think that thought. The thought just came to me. And sometimes the thoughts are extremely strange. And the thought for this young man was, something happened when you were four with one of your parents. What happened? And all of a sudden, he started telling me about what happened when he was four. And quite frankly, that was a big root with one of the deals. And we dealt with that, and quite right after that, some major changes happened in his life from oppression that Satan had brought into his life. See, the Spirit of God does this. I wasn't thinking that. I didn't come up with that. I'm not that good. God just brings that in. And so this is where God just brings in thoughts to you. And that's prophetic gifting. And we're to be involved in doing that. And when a person has this gifting, then it's God speaking to a person. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where he's defining this gifting, where he says, anyone who speaks in a tongue, that's in a special language that God gives, speaks in his tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Whereas he who prophesies speaks to men. And so this is where you're actually talking to a person, and God does it. And he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now those are big words. Edification, what does that mean? Exhortation, what does that mean? Well, some friends of mine defined it this way, and I like this. Edification, that's speaking something that builds somebody up. Do you understand building somebody up? That means they're down. And so you're building them up. You're helping to build them up. Exhortation is to stir them up. You ever seen people need to get stirred up? Need to get off their rear end and do something? I mean, they needed to go ahead and they're already in this whirlpool and it's sucking them down and they need to do something. Grab the rope. And you're offering them that. That's exhortation. And it's exhortation stirring them up to do something. And then the last one, comfort. You understand cheering up, right? You ever been cheered up by somebody? And cheering up is not, well, it's okay, don't worry. I mean, I've had people say that to me and I'm going, are you crazy? You just do not understand my situation, do you? You know, and that doesn't help me a whole lot. But what can help me a whole lot is when somebody comes in and says something to us. In our lives, we had a miscarriage take place within our lives, and the baby didn't live, and it was a very sad time for us when that child died. It was before Brittany was born, and Mark and Tanya asked us a question. They said, why did the baby die? And that's a hard thing to ask. And then later on, when Brittany was conceived, they said, is she going to die too? And that's kind of a hard question to answer, you know? I mean, because they have these good questions. And when that happened, it was a very time when we were down. I mean, quite frankly, it was just a hard, hard time for us. And people in the church, you're young, you can have other children. Well, that doesn't help a whole lot. I mean, somebody just died. Yeah, you didn't know them, and yeah, we didn't know them. But we'd already made a place for them within our heart and our lives. And to say, well, you're young. And I can't. The congregation was rather large, and so we heard that phrase over and over and over and over again. Now, they weren't meaning to be cruel. They just didn't know what to say. And they never experienced it themselves. And I tell you, the greatest comfort that came from us was people who came up to us and said, hey, we've had the same experience. And we know what it's like. And we're really sorry. And we love you. And we'll be praying for you. That really ministered to us. And so when you are speaking words prophetically to somebody, those words can cheer them up. Do you understand? And so a word can come in that would just minister straight to their heart. I don't know that we had any prophetic words spoken to us when we went through that experience. It would have been real nice to have had something like that. But we didn't. But the people who spoke those other things, who had experienced it, were really, really good. And that really helped us. Well, anyway, God's going to provide that to people through you. And so it's you speaking. And a good way to approach this is, for folks, is that I feel that God wants to say this to you. Brings a thought to you, and I feel God would like to say this to you. Because why? We're being used by God to minister to them. And so God uses us to touch people's lives. Now, God says that everybody can be involved in this. There's great examples of this. Two guys, one named Judas and one named Silas. You don't know Judas. This isn't Judas Iscariot. It's another Judas. But you know Silas, right? Remember Silas? He joined in with Paul and went around with him. Well, Silas had this gifting, and it says, now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted. Is that what you're supposed to do? That's one of the things, right? And strengthened. Is that another thing they're supposed to do? The brethren. And so here they're operating in this gifting as they're ministering to people who are going through a rather tenuous time as the church was trying to figure out how it's to operate as the church. Now, the people who have this gifting, one of the things that's quality about them is they spend time listening to the Lord. They get away from everything and they spend time listening to the Lord. They just shut everything out and they just spend time listening to the Lord. And they spend time many times reading the Scriptures and just listening to the Lord and letting God's Holy Spirit speak to them. Because everything that they speak, what does it have to agree with? The Word of God. I mean, that's the governor. That's how you know whether this thing is accurate or not. Next week we're going to talk about judging prophecy. How do you know whether that's something that's coming from the Lord or just coming from them? And so we'll talk about that. But it's got to agree with the Word of God. And again, these people have a real strong desire to see people trust God. So not only do they speak, but they also spend time praying for them. In fact, the very first time that this gifting is mentioned in the Bible is mentioned in the life of Abraham. Maybe you'd turn with me over to the book of Genesis in chapter 20 if you've got your Bible. And in Genesis chapter 20, you read this interesting story where you have this first occurrence. Many times in the Scriptures, God defines what things are by their first occurrence. It's a great way to find out, not fully everything about it, but it's a great way to find out about different things. You know what sin is? What's the first occurrence of sin in the Scriptures? Is it somebody killing somebody? Is it somebody eating the fruit? I mean, they did that, but what's that really doing? It's going against God's way. It's choosing to be independent from God and setting out your own way. And that's sin. And that's, you know, when you look at sin that way, it's kind of an interesting way to look at it. Because too many people tag all kinds of different things that they call sin. But sin in reality is choosing to go your way instead of God's way. And that's sin. When it comes down to that, how many of us are sinners? Yeah, everybody goes, yep, I've done it. That's me. Because, and the Scriptures say that, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, the first mentions here in Acts, in Genesis chapter 20, there's this guy whose name is Abraham. And Abraham is married to Sarah. And Abraham, at this particular juncture in his life, is getting close to the century mark. Not quite there yet, but he's getting close to it. And his wife's 10 years younger than he is. So how old will she be? 90. And she's getting up to 90. All right. So she's not quite there yet, but getting that way. And he goes, and he's talked when he went into the land. He was telling people that she was his sister. Evidently, in their culture, in Egypt and in the Middle East there, they had a real strong problem with adultery. But they had a lot less problem with killing somebody and marrying the widow. Don't understand that, but you know, cultures have different situations. And so, in that setting, he was scared that it was an ungodly pace. People would kill him and marry his wife. Now, I don't know what she had special. She was 90, but she might have been... Now, why do you laugh at that? There was something special about her, and he wanted to take her for wife. Now, the king chose to do this. Let's follow in. I'm going to break in. I've given you this concept. Let's follow in chapter 20, the book of Genesis. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt in Kadesh and Shur and sojourned to Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you're a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near to her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she even said herself, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I've done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did that in integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will what? He's a prophet, and he'll prophesy to you. But he's a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you not restore her, know that you shall surely die, and all who are yours. And Abimelech rose up early in the morning, called his servants, and told these things in their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you brought me and my kingdom on a great sin? It's kind of interesting, isn't it, when people who are not righteous are chastising the righteous for their sin. And so he does that, and Abraham prays for him. He says, I was just scared of the situation. Many times we do stupid things because we're scared. Have you ever done stupid things because you were scared? I have. And Abraham did that. But verse 17 says, after he returned her, he says, so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bore children. For God had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. By the way, in the next chapter, a boy is born. His name is Isaac to Sarah. But Abraham, though he had messed up, God had said, he's a prophet, he'll pray for you. Well, prophets involve themselves a lot in prayer. And so they don't only speak for the Lord, but they also pray about the setting. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, back in the New Testament, Paul says this, and after he spends time going through the love aspects of how we're to minister these gifts, he says, pursue love, that means really run after it, and desire spiritual gifts, that means really go after spiritual gifts. So you go after love, you go after spiritual gifts, but especially that you may do what? Prophesy. And so God wants everybody doing this. Everybody can. Everybody's not a prophet. Everybody doesn't have a great gifting in it, but everybody can. And so what we want to do is we want to help you move in this to where you receive impressions that the Lord gives and act upon them in prayer, sometimes speaking to the person. Now, how do you know whether you're supposed to speak to them or not? Well, who gave it to you? God. And so how do you know whether you're supposed to say something to them or not? You ask God. And you know what He'll do? He'll either encourage you to say something or encourage you to keep quiet. And just pray. And so this is really something between you and God. And so you want to check out with Him what you're supposed to be doing in this. So we take special impressions from the Lord to build up, stir up, and cheer up others. That's what we're to do. Now I want you to do something. I'm going to have you divide up in groups of three. Guys with guys, gals with gals. And I'm going to pray for you once you do that. And I'll tell you what to do. So divide up right now in the grouping, okay? Three and three. Let's go. Stand up. Now, if you're here and you're in the youth group, you can go back with Mark. If you're here and you're not in the youth group, but you're a younger person, would you go with Tanya? All right, so Tanya's going to be in the back. Mark's going to be in the back. And Mark's going to have the folks that are in the youth group. Tanya's going to have the ones that are not in the youth group. The rest of you who are adults, you need to get in threes. One, two, three. Okay, who needs a three? Who needs a triad? Okay, you got threes. All right, you got a two. You can have two here if you can't do a three. You can have twos. I'd rather you have twos than fours. Okay? Twos are better than fours. Three is the best. Why is three the best? We have a triad. We have a lot of triads. A lot of things. All right. So, okay. Now then, the first thing I want you to do, I'm going to do for you, is I'm going to pray and ask God to help you accomplish the task. Then I want you to focus while I'm praying on God's goodness, on just who He is, on the Lord. And then I want you to choose a thought. Sometimes God in the Old Testament, we'll describe this more next week, but God sometimes spoke through feelings. He spoke through them seeing something, just having a picture, a mental picture. Sometimes they just had a thought. That's referred to as hearing. And so I'm going to ask God to bring a thought or a picture or something to your mind that you can pray for the person. All right? So you're going to pray for one of the people that's in your group. You'll have to, I don't know which one. I mean, you're going to have to ask the Lord that. And this is all pretty fast, and I understand that. But I've got to tell you something. You can't fail. I'm not asking you to go with a life-changing decision. This is just very general stuff that's going to, you remember what it's supposed to do? Tell me the three things. It's to build up, stir up, and cheer up. All right? So it's just very general things about the Lord would say this to you, that He has this for you, He has this. And so it's just real simple stuff. We're not. If anybody says, the Lord says to you, you're supposed to move from here and go to New York, and I'm going to go, whoa, wait a minute. That's way beyond what we're wanting to do here. We're not doing that. You're just asking the Lord for something simple that you can use to bless a person with, okay? And that's all we're going to be doing, all right? So we're going to be sharing this today, all right? So I'm going to pray for you. And I know this, if you're here and you're a guest, or you've not been through any things with us, you don't have to do this, all right? You just take a bye and sit out. That's fine. But I want to encourage you to step into it, because you'll never do that unless you step into it. Does that make sense? And so I want you to take a gamble and just step out. And you're safe here. And like I said, nobody's going to go leave their home and go do something different because you said it. All right? So that's not where we're going. All right? So let me pray for you. Lord, thank You for these folks. Thank You for their willingness to be involved here and hearing from You to share with another person. And so would You just right now bring their minds into thinking about You and Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy, Your power and Your strength, Your love. And Lord, would You now just bring a thought to their mind for the person who they're closest to right now, physically, in the room. And just help them with that thought to be able to pray that thought into a person's life. Thank You, Lord, that You've gifted all of us to different degrees, but all are gifted. And would You use this now to minister to the hearts of people, that they might be built up or stirred up or cheered up. Okay, I'd like for the person who's the least vocal of the group to go first.